Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause sitting in for Jim. Jim Richards will be back next week. I think Scott Reed is in Thursday and Friday night, so lots of entertainment, lots of opinion to keep going for the rest of the week. Now, you probably saw this in the newspaper today. The court rules against Jordan Peterson over social media complaints. That's the headline. The story is an Ontario court has ruled against controversial psychologist Jordan Peterson upholding a regulatory body's order that he undergo social media training or potentially lose his license to practice. In a decision released on Wednesday, three Ontario Divisional Court judges unanimously sided with the College of Psychologists of Ontario in a case stemming from some of Peterson's contentious language and online statements. One of the justices wrote that the college's order that Peterson undergo a program on professionalism in public statements balanced its mandate to regulate the profession and that it is not a disciplinary nor does it prevent Dr. Peterson from expressing himself on controversial topics. To help put this into some kind of context, help me welcome Christopher Wells, a specialist in sexual and gender minority youth education and health. Christopher, welcome to News Talk Tonight.
A pleasure to be with you.
So what's your first reaction to this court ruling?
Not surprised at all. I think any member of a regulated profession like the Jordan Peterson with the College of Ontario Psychologists knows that your off-duty conduct is fair game because it is part of your professional practice and obligation that what you do after hours can impact how your profession is viewed in the eyes of the public. So, psychologists, teachers, engineers, doctors, nurses, lawyers, accountants, the list goes on. Those are all regulated professions where your off-duty conduct is fair game.
And I don't know that we need to go into a whole lot of detail here, but what were some of the things that were contentious and at, of interest here in this ruling?
Well, I think, the ruling talked about a series of tweets that were made that were seen to be derogatory to certain groups of people that may make those individuals feel less comfortable approaching a psychologist. You know, when you have a member of the psychological profession in Ontario saying these things, it impacts everyone who practices. And that's why, in this case, the college suggested social media and professionalism training as the consequences. They could have, and in other cases you've seen, they could have suspended his license mm-hmm. entirely to practice. So I think the courts have found that this was a reasonable measure.
I think it's interesting that he hasn't actually practiced since 2017. So he hasn't seen patients since 2017. So it's been some time. And, I kind of look at Twitter and most social media as just being kind of noise in a lot of ways. And so clearly, though, this ruling body took this much more seriously. Do we know or do we understand what his reaction to this is?
Well, I think he said, I saw today on Twitter, or X as it's now called, that he plans to post all of the social media training that he's going to be required to undergo to make it, completely public and transparent. So it's a bit perplexing because you're right, he hasn't practiced in quite a while. So, why is he so concerned about maintaining his life? Mm-hmm. He could just give it up and, none of this would matter and he would have all the free speech he wants. But, when you continue to be part of a regulated profession, that's your choice. And then you have to abide by the professional code of conduct.
When we're dealing, you specialize in sexual and gender minority youth. I tend to think of young people being a little bit more connected to social media. How big a problem is language in the same vein that Jordan Peterson used and others used? How impactful is that on some of the youth that you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, part of the challenge is we're seeing a lot of this this online social media behavior mm-hmm. start to turn up offline. And in Canada, you know, across our country, we're seeing hate crimes continue to increase, especially those targeting our 2S LGBTQ community, our Jewish community, our racialized, our African-Canadian communities as well. So I think for young people in particular, they live so much of their life now online that, you know, these kind of comments, this online bullying or this harassment can have great consequences in their mental health and their well-being. You know, I used to be a classroom teacher, so mm-hmm. a member of one of these regulated professions. And, you know, in the old days before social media, you know, the rule was that if you could, you know, just avoid your bullies on the way to school, right. come early yeah. or leave late or just run as fast as you could to get home and, you know, you were safe in your house. But now the bullying comes in right into your bedroom online and there's really no escape.
And 24 hours a day as well.
Exactly. So you just constantly get bombarded and inundated. And it's actually one of the reasons now why many school districts hold students responsible for the bullying that happens off of school property and online, because, you know, we have to have consequences for behavior. You know, free speech in Canada is always restricted when it comes to, you know, prejudice and discrimination. It's one of the reasons why we have hate propaganda laws mm-hmm. in Canada.
I'm speaking with Christopher Wells, who specializes in sexual and gender minority youth, education, health, sport, and culture. So what is to be done? Are there courses that can be given to teach people how to deal with negativity and bullying online to help walk them through it? What happens next? It's a fact of life now. It's not going away. Social media, anyway, is not going away. Is there a method by which we can teach people to be more resolute in the face of online bullying and that sort of thing?
Well, I think there's been a lot of conversations about holding social media platforms much more responsible mm-hmm. for the kind of conduct. You know, now with technology, they could easily screen out, you know, offensive words right. from ever appearing the moment you press sort of send on a tweet. And but they choose not to do that. And part of that is because, you know, these companies are based in different jurisdictions in other countries that do not have, right, the same robust, you know, human rights laws or protections like we do here in Canada. So it's a real challenge, and we see more of this you know, when you're constantly bombarded with this kind of a toxic environment or this online bullying or harassment. It has real world consequences. So I think what you're seeing happen is a lot of people are just trying to turn social media off completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the trouble is negativity sells. So when you post something that is angry, when you post something that's negative, often that's the tweet or the post, whatever platform you may be on, that tends to get a lot of attention. And that's yeah. one of the reasons I think that we've gone down this rabbit hole here in this what is essentially an attention economy. People want to be noticed. And unfortunately, negativity is one of the ways they found that works.
Yeah, we call that rage farming, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, you get people irate, and then it, you know, a conversation quickly degenerates in these echo chambers online, and rather than, you know, seeing the other person and engaging in notions of, you know, empathy and humanization, understanding that our words have consequences mm-hmm. on other people. But when you're not seeing those people online, you become, you know, disconnected from those kind of consequences. And I really like to think about, you know, how might we be able to use social media for social good, you know, because there are, you know, a lot of potential, you know, benefits. And I think part of that is just having stronger rules and regulations around the kind of speech that we allow on social media.
And perhaps teaching people of the real life consequences of what happens when you rage farm on Twitter or on Facebook or any of the other platforms.
Well, we're seeing it, and we're certainly seeing it here with, you know, Dr. Peterson and being held accountable mm-hmm. by his professional body and being encouraged to take social media training and professionalism training. And I think we're going to see more and more of that, where these professional regulatory bodies are holding their members accountable. But we would hope that, you know, parents would hold their children accountable, like know what your kids are up to online and what they're saying. You'd never allow them to say that to people in your neighborhood, but you know, they can say it online and get away with it, and then they get validated right for that.
Christopher, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Always a pleasure.
I appreciate it. That was Christopher Wells, who specializes in sexual and gender minority youth, education, health, sport, and culture. Stay with me. There's lots more to come on News Talk Tonight.